This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at inthisleague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Interact and follow the show on Twitter at InThisLeaguePod. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
Welcome in, friendos. This is the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. That is Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welsh on the podcast today to talk about chaos around baseball, to talk about one of the biggest prospects in the world coming up, to debate players and answer your questions. He is the one. He is the only. I call him Fantasy Joe. He is from Fantasy Joe's. Fantasy Pros are... he was our best friend. He's not really our best friend anymore. He left us out in the cold. He barely calls anymore. He barely texts. You know, when I hear from Joe, he's like, "Hey, scum, here's a wrestling show. Put it up, servant." And I'm like, "Okay, sir." Yeah. Can I come back on Fantasy Pros at some point, sir, please? And he's just like, "Wow, wait, I've by the heard... phone. I'll call you."
I've never heard a more accurate description of Joe Pizzapia. Just demanding and mean and unlikable, right? Yeah, that's Joe. That's definitely not the opposite of what Joe is.
No, no. He's still our best friend, though. We don't talk to him as much. Joe Pizzapia. Pizza. Piece of pizza. I think that's the nickname. And our buddy from the Fantasy Pros. He is the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Joe. Is going to be on with us today. It's kind of exciting. I barely talked to Joe. We're doing something. I don't remember what it was. And he was just like, "We barely talked lately." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." I'm like, "You got all your new little boyfriends. You got all your new little friends over there doing all your new little fun stuff. What about us? What about the little guys?"
I love it. Whenever Welsh is upset, things become little to him.
Yeah. Waggles. I'm like, "The little guys, yeah, little people."
All these little things going on. Enjoy your little podcast over there.
A little successful podcast.
Enjoy your little Fantasy Pros website that everybody wants to be a part of. So,
gonna have your little awesome friend Dan Harris and like little producers and stuff. So cool.
I've got little producers. Oh, it's so fun.
I'm excited about it. So Joe's gonna be on with us. We're gonna do some player little debates. Joe. We're gonna talk a little Joe Pizzapia, little podcaster that could a little book series. He's gonna be joining us here in just a little bit. It should be a very fun episode. Not some little episode. It should be a very fun episode. But friends, Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for that hairy dad. So make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. Yes, the 4.0 is here. We broke that news last week. All the outlets were talking about what In This League did, breaking the 4.0. That's right, we did it. The Lawnmower 4.0 is here, and you can get 20% off and free shipping by using our promo code ITLMLB right now at manscaped.com. Imagine surprising your dad with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized body hair trimmer that says, "Hey, Dad, your balls will thank you." Right on the box, it says that. When I think of, I don't have a dad, you don't have a dad, so this is incredible copy for both of us. Father's Day is relatively meaningless, except I'm a father now. But when I think, if I had a dad and I was like, "What do I want my dad to feel on Father's Day?" It's his
balls, right?
I want him to feel his balls, and I want him to know, "Dad, I'm thinking about your balls. Thank you for taking care of my previous home." The 4.0 now has got all of your customized trimming needs, guard lengths from 1 to 4. It's got a wireless charger and so much more. Go check it out for yourself. Don't let me just tell you all about it. If you're in the market, go and check it out. And if you're not in the market, your dad might be, or that father figure in your life. We got plenty of those, right? 20% off, free shipping, promo code ITLMLB. Get your dad a gift they're actually going to use. Let them know that you're thinking about their nuts. I've always said that. Like,
yeah,
that's why.
Dad, are your balls okay? Are they too hairy? That's what I say. This reads like a mistress buying buying something for her daddy. You know what I mean? That's what it reads like. Dad. Yeah. I mean, all I can think of is Heidi Gray right now. So
We could be talking about ball trimmers, or we could talk about XFIP, or we could be talking about launch angle.
I'm probably thinking of Heidi Gray most of the time anyway. So, but yeah, right.
Let's be real here, Bog.
You're right. You know what? That's on me. On me for saying that.
I mean, just accept where it is. The San Diego Padres are ready to end baseball. I'm just putting it out there.
They sound like they're sharing razors here. I mean, come on. What is happening?
They might all need their own 4.0s because it's getting a little close. They I would say, maybe not single-handedly, but let's just, for argument's sake here, go with me. They single-handedly, I think, have brought back the excitement of baseball because, like, I know there's Yankee fans out there, there's Dodger fans out there, and you love your teams being great, but we're all dying for, like, the other teams to come back. We want excitement. We've been looking for that in baseball, and the Padres, I think, last year really provided that. Hosmer became good again. Grisham was awesome. Tatis, the most exciting player in baseball. Machado, now they bring in all these new guys. Paddock was really great for a time, but now you got Darvish. They're the team that no one
expected. New hotness.
Yeah, they're the new hotness, the team that no one ever like expected. So I think they have brought a new revived excitement back to baseball. And it's something baseball needs, like the young good stars, and Tatis has provided that. And now that same player, Fernando Tatis Jr., and this team legit has put some massive questions into baseball because almost that whole damn team has got COVID or have tracing issues. Tatis positive for the 19, for the 1-9. We're going to call it like that. We're going to call it the 1-9. That's a new thing.
The 1-9.
A new thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We'll call it San Diego 9-9, Brooklyn 1-9. Tatis got the 1-9. Then he has tracing issues. So now we know who his friends are. By the way, anybody concerned that Machado and Tatis not friends? Can we create a narrative for, you know, Bob Nightingale or something to do some horrible story about? Why didn't Machado have a tracing issue? Are Machado and Tatis not friends? Trouble in San Diego?
Yeah, just put it out there. I like that. So save it for when the Diamondbacks are good and then fire those rumors out. But yeah.
Profar and Jorge Mateo have tracing issues. Then this is literally my favorite. And this is where I think it's not just the Padres, by the way, it's baseball letting this happen. This is where it gets messy. Will Myers tests positive in the third inning. So like he took a test and they're just like, go get him, bud. Slap on the butt. Go get him. And he gets out there. And then the third inning, they're like, go get him. Go get him now. Get him out of there. And then after Eric Hosmer has tracing issues, they still don't have this system down. So the Padres are messy. They had to bring up a whole bunch of not great players. And I don't know about you. I don't know how much you paid attention to it, like last night or Tuesday night coming into Wednesday.
I saw it like right when it happened because I was watching the game when Myers got pulled.
But not even that, but like the chatter of people going, oh, damn, like we are in full vaccination mode. A lot. We don't know of these players who's vaccinated, but like we're in full vaccination mode. Lots of players are vaccinated. Like, I don't think we were ready to see that. Oh, an entire team could go down and more players are coming. That is the word that's happening out there. Now there's a double header. This was the craziest, messiest part that happened on Wednesday. What's happening is we're recording this. You guys have already experienced it. A double header. There was like no info coming into it, but they still, as of this moment, and this is where it can get nastier for baseball. They got Grisham, they got Cronenworth, they got Machado. Okay, you're good. You got your pitchers don't interact with, you know, star players, so you don't have to worry about that. You have them. They're going in a doubleheader, but it's out there that more players might test positive, Boggs. And well, like what if it is Machado? Like what if Cronenworth? And then they're out playing. They're playing against Rockies. I was just shocked. I think I had sat back a little too much and forgot, like, oh, yeah, like we can legit still be in this. And everybody just is like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a vaccine. Everything's going to be fine. And we'll be good again. We don't know the logistics of all of this. But regardless of all of that, I think the standards of how people are approaching everything got a little bit lax again. And almost the entire Padres team is in some type of tracing or COVID issue. It's not great. Brian O'Grady is playing on Wednesday.
I'm just surprised that most of these guys aren't vaccinated. Like
but you don't know that they're not. There are plenty of people that have tested positive after getting the vaccine. Not plenty of people, but there have been reports out there. I want to say it was the Yankees. There's a couple Yankees issues, coaches. Who was it? It was like a former player that they went through the two rounds of vaccinations and still tested positive for it. So
did they get it from the lizard people?
I don't know. I don't know where they're at. At this point.
I just don't know. Like here's my thing with this.
I mean, the vaccine doesn't say you will not get.
No. I know. Well, here's my thought process is I don't think this is as big a deal as it was last year. Not because I have COVID fatigue. Maybe I do. I don't know. But I think it's because we have so much more time to these games up than we did last year. Right
now, we also have a vaccine.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Like we have stuff. The reason it was so crazy last time is because we had nothing. We didn't even know what we were doing. We have that, and to your point, there is much more time to make up these games. To a point,
but you can't miss an entire week. Here's my concern, though, is that you know, right now we're reading reports of how guys that missed time last year were completely terribly affected and never got right and all that kind of stuff. So are these guys vaccinated and, you know, they tested positive for it, but they're not really feeling it? Are these guys actually getting it and going through symptoms? Because I would like to know if I own Will Myers or Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, if they have tested positive and if they have symptoms,
because that
could affect them. Yeah, but it could affect them for the rest of the season. That's my bigger concern than, you know, a series with the Rockies where some losers have to come up and play some games, some quad A players or whatever that we're never going to use for fantasy. I shouldn't say losers, but
yeah, you I like Tucapito is I'm a fan of and you know what, you know, maybe you're shocked here, but Tommy Pham, Mick Stabberson, he's still out there. Like he's good. I think he's been staying home. You know, I don't know what he's doing. He's not out fraternizing.
Yeah,
he's still in the lineup.
You see my point now? Getting stabbed, not nearly as bad as COVID, right? So, I mean, he's fine. He's still out there. The COVID guys aren't. So, I think he's doing okay. But anyway, my point is that it just, it feels like it's not as big a deal, but also we didn't expect another breakout because we are, you know, getting into the clear as a country. I mean, we're not there yet, but we're getting there. More things are returning back to normal. There's a bunch of teams that are allowing 100% capacity now. Yeah. And, you know, so it's just weird to see another breakout like this.
It's something I don't know where it is to monitor, and I'm not sure what the tangible stuff to talk about is here. I mean, you look at the players, obviously some significant players out of the lineup. You lost Hosmer. You're going to lose him for 7 days. Tatis tested positive. So, you know, that's going to be, I mean, in some instances, tracing issues are worse than actually testing positive, because you could be on the back turn of testing positive. You could test negative 2 days later and then you could get back playing, where the reason that they go into quarantine when they're in contact tracing is because of that incubation period of them being able to get it. So Hosmer, Profar, those guys are going to probably be out for a week. You could have technically Tatis and Will Myers come back earlier if the, you know, the tests go away, but it's something to come back and just make sure you're locked into your spot. Like we have one of those, like our NL only league. I have Tatis Jr. I was luckily able to pick up Tucapito Mercado, and he's out playing second base in one of these in the doubleheader. So that's something, but you know, it's not much. Like Brian O'Grady, Marcano, Ha-Sung Kim is being able to continue maintaining some value because he's playing games, but replacements are out there needed for people. And, you know, just like, don't forget about depth. You know, I started to fall back. I think this is one last thing on this. I've been seeing trades. I've been like really dismissing, going back to like my old ways of dismissing like these depthy trades, because every goddamn person wants to trade you three players for your best player. Everybody wants, like 90% of the trades I see, people are like, so would you trade this guy for these three players? And usually I'm going to say no, because it's not a good trade. But I'm not saying to do that, but it is something consider that thinking about this situation that we're in now, that in those 2-for-1s, especially when it's not a stud player, in 2-for-1s and stuff like that, might be worthwhile stockpiling a tiny bit more depth, because this is just a good reminder for everybody that we're not out of the woods with this stuff, because this is a potential team. I mean, 4 or 5 players on the Padres, it's a couple big names. It kind of sucks. It's not an epidemic or anything like that, like a Marlins situation, but I don't think we're that far off from it. And people legit, an hour before the doubleheader started today, we're not sure if we were going to see the Padres play for the next week.
It's weird to me that we've had, I feel like, more COVID issues in baseball than in basketball this year, because basketball, those guys are literally sweating on top of each other and breathing in each other's faces. You know what I mean? So it's weird to me that they would have less COVID issues, and there have been COVID issues in the NBA. Don't get me wrong, but less than, you know, we start out with Washington, right, as the season started, having COVID issues, and now it's the Padres. These are the two big ones for the year. So hopefully that's it, but, you know, we'll see.
It's all reminiscent in wonderful, amazing, incredible news. We are officially in prospect season. It is time. And the Seattle Mariners are not disappointing. They are officially, as you guys are listening to this podcast, calling up one of the top prospects in all of baseball. He's actually put himself in a situation for many that he is the 1A to 1B. You know, in previous times, we've had like, you know, Buxton, Bryant, and Correa, or, you know, we've had Acuna and Vlad. Like, guys are fighting for the top spot. Wander has had it for so long. It is not Wander Franco, but the Mariners are calling up Uber prospect Jared Kelnick. He is going to be playing an in the lineup today, and he is good to go. They completely successfully manipulated service time. Good on them. Good on you. They
I mean, you did say at the beginning of this that you know, that the Mariners did not disappoint, but they did disappoint by not bringing him.
Well,
up
no, I mean, they're the very beginning up the guy, of the year. But, well, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And this was I forgot to talk about it on the last episode, and all it would have done is get me my internet points. That's all it is. But I legit straight called this one, Boggs, on Prospect One this past week. Called it verbatim. And it was just, you know, a million other people could have talked about it. I happened to do a podcast early Saturday morning for Prospect One, and I was going through because Kelnick had been really good so far. I mean, he opened up in the first game of the minor league season for AAA in Tacoma, and he jacked two homers. Just a statement of this kid.
Yeah.
And I'm going through and I'm looking.
I mean, have there been any more signs that a guy needs to be called up? Like, as the manager is talking about him, proving it, he hits a home run during spring training. He hits two homers in one of his first games in AAA. I mean, just come on, man. Like,
well, it was also like, I think the GM, they had said it was either the day before he started or it was after the two homers. They're like, we need to give a really good look at Kelnick. So I've always thought he was going to come up and be the first one. So I started to take a look and I was like, well, here's the deal. I had miscalculated I think for whatever reason, because he was playing with the AA Arkansas team in minor league spring training. When I thought about him going to the minors, I was like, they're not going to send him to Arkansas. There's no way. You're not going to send this kid to Arkansas. So I was like, you know what? I think he comes up before the season starts. Little did I forget that the AAA team is in Tacoma, Washington. So they send him out there. So I start looking and I go, well, here we go, guys. They are going on a road trip. They're staying in Tacoma all the way until Wednesday. Tuesday, there's an off day Thursday, and then the Tacoma team would be traveling to Utah on Thursday. So I said on the show, I am calling my shot that he is called up before Thursday. And sure enough, he is called up and he's going for Thursday. Got a little bit of love. Some people that heard the podcast giving me some love on it. And it was a pretty easy one to put together. If you believe Kelnick was coming up soon, it made the most sense. And Jared Kelnick is going to bring his crazy talents to the Mariners. So far, he had played, I think it's, how many games is this? Let's go like six games. And he did actually, even on the call-up, he has played the last couple of days. So I'm guessing he's going to play tonight. But it's possible maybe like they don't have tonight, so it's an extra day of travel, whatever. Or no, I think they're off today on Wednesday, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
He has a hit in every single game this year in the minor leagues. Four of them were multi-hit, and he had the two-homer game. He's stepping out of AAA, and probably the last time, unless he's rehabbing, you're going to see him in a minor league game. He is ending with a 370 average, 414 OBP, did strike out five times, walked twice, but stole two bases and hit two homers in Boggs the night before. This is so dirt, or the day after. So the first day he hits two homers and he's going up against the Padres team. So he jacks those two homers. He's like, sup, sup, sup. On Friday.
All those guys are professionals now because of COVID. So.
they're all professionals. You're 100% right. He technically was going up against major leaguers. So the next night after he does the two homers, he's got Mackenzie Gore. And I talked a lot about Mackenzie Gore on Prospect One. In the very first at bat, because I think Kelnick was leading off, he gets slapped. He gets behind 0-2. Gore gets a little ahead of him. So he's an 0-2 count. Bad place for Kelnick to be. Because I think Kelnick can get a little like somebody comped him to Bryce Harper. And it's such a great comp. And I just love it because Harper is always consistently had like ups and downs with batting average, but he can always jack homers and steal bases. I love that comp. And I think Kelnick is going to have some batting average issues up and down. Like he might pull a Luis Robert and just murder ball everybody for a month, but then it's going to come back a little bit. But 0-2 count, I'm like, don't really love it. He slaps a single right up the middle, just really hard, gets on base. Mind you, Mackenzie Gore is a lefty, and Mackenzie Gore is straight upwards staring at Kelnick on the second pitch of the next at bat. He's staring at Kelnick. Kelnick, savage, just runs right on him and just steals that base by a mile. So base running is key. He has huge power. He has a great eye for the ball. I think he can get too aggressive. This guy cares about stats. He does. I've interviewed him. You can go back and I'm going to put this up a tweet from my Prospect One interview like 2 years ago, where like he had his mindset in 2019. He was going into that year to have a 2020 year. Boom, he did it. He wanted to be up in 2020 in the majors. He's a goal-oriented player. He's one of the more focused baseball players I've seen. He's going to be super successful. So the answer to your question with Kelnick is yes. Whatever it is. Should I trade for him? Yes. Should I trade him away? That's always a questionable one. I would ride this out a little bit because I think he's going to get hot. But like, you're not the biggest prospect guy. Did you get excited? Do you have any shares of Kelnick out of there? I mean, does this get your juices flowing?
I don't have any shares of him, but I am excited to watch him.
You don't have any juices to flow?
Especially the fervor that's been around him. You know, all the talk that's been around him and this guy being kind of the forefront of the, you know, manipulation of contracts and hopefully this being the end of that when they get into the CBA in the offseason and start talking about stuff. Hopefully all of that nonsense goes away so that teams can just play their best players at the beginning of the year. I think baseball does many things that are absurd, but I honestly feel like there was less romance in The Notebook than what you were just talking about with Jared Kelnick. Like, there was less romance in The Notebook between the, I've never seen it, but I'm just thinking of the most sappy romantic movie I can think of. I think Welsh talk. I didn't say anything for 5 minutes straight.
I know. Like, I did. During that, and I was like, I'm talking for a long time.
You weren't talking, though. You were gushing about Jared Kelnick. Yeah. You're excited. You should be.
I'm very excited.
You watch this guy forever. So, I'm going to be the same way when Trevor Lawrence goes out, week one and tears apart whoever the Jaguars are playing. We'll find out today. But
you're right about that. Because, like, 2018, I remember seeing him in 2018 in the backfield.
Well, you're just like, I've interviewed him. I have his picture under my pillow. It's in my wallet also.
But you know what's funny? He's not my number one prospect. He's not my number two prospect.
Yeah, I know.
He's actually not my number one Mariners prospect.
When Franco comes up, it's going to be, you know, spooky ghost.
Well, I've been having fun with Franco's just been murder balling and people want to know, like, I think Franco is a couple weeks behind. I think he beats June here. Kelnick, coming back to it, to go pick on our boy Cardi, if people are wondering, because, you know, it's not a favorable thing. This is not a favorite. The bat has never been favorable to prospects. 235 batting average is the projection on Kelnick. 13 homers, 6 stolen bases. That is from the bat. The bat X, identical. There's no change. But it has him at only 84 games. So now you're probably in line for what? Like 120? Like,
yeah.
You have something like that?
Well, I was going to ask you, like, where do you think he finishes this year? But I think that's not really a question for the day he comes up. It's probably more of a question for, like, 3 to 4 weeks into his season and how he's playing. Where do we think he finishes?
I mean, listen, I think he's, I think this is a 20 homer, 15 stolen base rookie season. I don't know what struggles are going to be there 100%, but this is going to be a big topic of conversation. And I tell you a couple things. I got James Anderson from RotoWire coming on Prospect One this week. We will talk about Kelnick, and I will be on CBS on Friday with Frankie Stamps and Scott White to talk prospects. So if you guys want some more, you know, Prospect One, I will have waited to see Kelnick's debut for Prospect One. I will not have on CBS, but we'll kind of talk through that. But, you know, the projection systems are still more in favor for Wander Franco. And I kind of still believe that from a batting average standpoint. Franco has upped his power this year. I don't think he's going to steal at the same clip. I think Kelnick is also just like Bryce Harper. That's why I love the comp. When Bryce isn't hitting for big power, he's going to make up it on the base paths. I absolutely love the comp.
Bryce is super streaky. So
I think Kelnick can be streaky as well.
So, but that it's a good point to make for people that are picking him up and don't know much about him is if he struggles the first 2-3 weeks, don't panic. Don't, you know, drop him. Don't rage cut. Don't do any of that stuff because he does have a tendency to be streaky. Well, the only way you cut him is if he gets sent back down.
That's he it. Doesn't actually have a tendency. He hasn't had in the minors. He's always been really well. Now the push in 2019 from advanced A, where he hit 290, then he went to double A, he dropped down to 253. But he's hit, you know, in total seasons like 280, 290. This is a contact hitter, but I think early on there's some adjustment periods. He can be aggressive. He's in his head. He's got these, like, you know, solid line goals and stuff like that. But he's got a great approach, an approach that can hit off speed. And none of the negatives should be out there, but you should hold, as I think you should Wander. And I think I'd like to see Wander come up quickly because I'd love to have them paired against each other. And
just
they would
never
be
know what the stupid Rays are going to do. You know,
and they would be in the rookie race together, which would be phenomenal. So this is gonna be a big Jared Kelnick week if you guys are excited about it. And yes, it is Kelnick. It is not Kelenic. Let's just make that clear for the 100th time.
Dude.
And especially anybody that wants to try to blame me again. No, just kidding. But people, I got blamed for it.
The Trevor Larnach thing.
Did you watch the video?
I'm gonna go find so it. Unbelievably miserable.
Did I undersell it?
You know what I think it had to be? I think it had to be like, you know, he got called late at night. Hey, we're calling you up. You got to get here. As soon as he takes a red eye in there, he's getting his hotel set. He's getting all of his arrangements. They rush him to the ballpark and he's got to be exhausted. That's the only thing I can think of for this video because he looks miserable.
Okay.
Did you find it?
I just found it. I don't know why this thing eludes me so much. Oh, you know why too? Here it is. Because it was a video from February, so it must have been from spring training. So
okay.
Let's
well
share
then,
this.
He must be super annoyed then. Yeah. I guess that's what it was.
I'm just
because like I'm over here like throwing out my conspiracy theory.
I know.
Like, he's got to be really tired. You're like, it's from February. He just sucks. You know.
All I'm saying is like some stuff I've heard is he's not the biggest personality. He might not like all the stuff. Are you looking at his face right now? Look at his face.
He looks like someone just told him one of his family members died.
This is like Ian Happ, except Ian Happ has a resting bitch face. Trevor Larnach he is the literal walking version of depression. He's making me sad looking at him. So last episode, I was trying to recreate it. Multiple people shared it. And here he is, Trevor Larnach, saying how to say his name.
My name is Trevor Larnach. Trevor Larnach.
Say it again.
My name is Trevor Larnach. Trevor Larnach.
It just
I mean,
doesn't
not
come
even
over.
A hint of a grin or positivity or anything.
It just doesn't
I just
work
don't
on audio.
Understand it.
It's the video. It doesn't work on audio. But as soon as people went and found it from listening, then they started like tagging me in it. And I saw Scott White share it. It's great. It's one of my favorite videos I've ever seen. It's
my name's Trevor Larnach. Trevor Larnach.
It's so phenomenal. So there you go. There's a tease for some stuff. I got CBS
I mean,
later
Ben
this week.
Ben Stein looks exciting.
One.
You know, he looks excited next to Trevor Larnach.
Maybe we'll talk about it. Hopefully we talk about Trevor Larnach. A couple other quick news and notes. Corbin Burns going to be back today. Thank you, God, for TGFBI. I'm going to need that. Christian Yelich is doing all the baseball activities for now.
I mean, you know, I like that Craig Counsell went out and said, hey, he's doing all the baseball activities, but he did say we're going to take it day by day and all the coach speak nonsense and all that stuff. And like all he needed to say was, yeah, look, he looks good to us, but we're going to let him tell us when he's good because we told him when he was good last time and he went right back on the IL. So
alrighty. Yeah, I'm still like pretty far out on that whole business. JT Romito left Tuesday's game with a knee injury, but I don't think it's going to be. It doesn't look like it's going to be.
I wasn't
situation.
In the lineup today, so we'll see.
Well, just a couple days. Luke Voit returned, went 0-3 with a K. Hate to see it. Love to see it. Cody Bellinger's resumed running. Thank you. Should be close to rehab assignment. He actually shared a couple days ago on his Instagram out here in Arizona at Camelback Ranch doing some stuff. So if he does a rehab assignment, maybe we get him next weekend.
We saw Marte running at full speed the other day, and he still hasn't been sent for a rehab assignment. So
yeah, but I'm hoping – I think we could get both by late next weekend or the beginning of the following
week. Fingers crossed. I hope so. I have Marte in so many spots. I really like to have him back.
Me too. George Springer is going to start running on Thursday. So apparently running is the impetus to rehab. So just be on the lookout for that. Maybe they'll all come back at the same time. Steven Strasburg threw a simulated game on Tuesday. Box. Yeah.
Great for him. You know, you know how many shares I have? Zero.
Yeah.
You know what? I do have him in a best ball.
Yeah. Remember, you have him in one and you were just like, this is the first time I finally freaking take him.
Well, yeah, it was. He just fell and fell and fell in a best ball we did in like December. So I was like, all right. I mean, you know, he's like the 40th pitcher off the board or whatever. Okay. I feel like I need to take him here. This is a bit ridiculous. So I took him, and then, you know, I'm not surprised by his injuries.
Brandon Belt left the game on Tuesday with some side tightness. Nate Pearson, he was optioned to AAA after he blew some chunks. You want to talk about streaky pitchers?
Five walks and no strikeouts. I mean, that's, you know, come on.
That's why I was always just like never crazy. Like, I've seen a bunch, and like, you know, he's a smart kid. He's a big kid and he can throw really hard, but I don't know. He just never puts it quite together. I think he could be solid, but I've never like... There was a period of time where like Casey Mize was so above him in the prospect world, and then Nate Pearson became so above him. And I've always just kind of argued, like, I'm not sure that they're that far apart. I think they both have just some negatives in their different things. The Rays designated Setsugo for assignment, which I know caught Rays fan. I don't think I got the official breaking news of how Yancey took it, but Rays fans didn't seem to take it super well. And they all thought that Wander was coming, by the way. Like, hilarious that, oh, now that Setsugo's gone, Wander can finally come up. And it's like, come on, guys. And they brought up Kevin Padlock. So, of course, it was not with Setsugo. And then CJ Cron was placed on the IL with a back strain just as he was getting kind of
a lot of fat atoms coming here. And by the way, Christian Walker, I think I forgot to put it on the sheet, but Christian Walker left the game with side tightness in the same side where he had the oblique injury that had him miss a bunch of the beginning of the season. So,
is that the one where when I made him slip and got hurt?
He seems to be, ever since then, it's been a downhill. For Christian Walker, he kind of hit his peak right before the Welsh made him trip or whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, ever since he tripped with me, he's had issues with the lower half. But I speculated Seth Beer is green kind of raking a little bit. I know Pavin can easily move over there, and I guess at the end of the day, that team, they could go like Peralta, Varsho, and maybe like Castro in the outfield, or Rojas or something, and then have Pavin at first. That's probably the play, but I just wonder, like, do you keep Pavin out there to keep pace, keep rocking, and then maybe come and don't put his, I mean, I know they could do his dribble too, but I guess I'm just optimistic. I'd like to see Beer, but I don't know. Probably doesn't happen. They're too versatile with the Diamondbacks. But speaking of Pavin Smith, oh, you know, we were going to do a Pavin and we didn't end up doing a Pavin Smith debate. I wish we did, because all I want to do is talk about him. We do have some other good debates that we're going to be doing here, as we got to get our buddy Joe Pizzapia on. But I do want to remind and tell you guys to come and check us out over at patreon.com/ITL Army. I know you know the drill. But if you're looking for what's going down and what are the updates, the top 500 prospect list was updated. We have the top dynasty list, which was updated. We have got Comedy Secret Show, which has got to get recorded here pretty soon. We got a whole bunch to talk about. And you can come and hang out in the GroupMe rooms, which is just literally a never ending list of fun, and like hanging out with dudes, and you can get access to us. And then we do like live streams. I've got a live stream this Friday. I'm going to do it for 2 hours, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's called Break This League Night. Going to be breaking some Bowman, have some game use autograph thing I'm going to be giving away or doing a raffle for. And I do have a couple giveaways as well. It's going to be 2 hours hanging out, talking prospects, doing memorabilia card stuff, whatever. So sign up so you can be a part of that. And those are just a few of the things that we do. So come and support your boys, patreon.com/ITL Army. And if you love ITL business, stick around at the end, because I just remembered a gift I got and I'm staring at it. I've got to mention it. I got to mention it again. So we'll do that after our buddy Joe comes on, because we got to talk to Mr. Fantasy Pros himself, Joe Pizzapia. Player debates, your questions happening right after this.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
There's literally an intro that I can't do here. There's only one man that can start this segment. So, Mr. Black Book, I'm going to need you to do it.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? It's me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and it feels good to be with my boys, Scott Bogman and the Welsh. Oh, my goodness.
Right,
I've been
buddy.
With Bogman recently. I did the ITO show filling in when you were not available.
He was hot.
He was
good
hot,
as usual.
Flexible, all the things that you want, and shaved in places that you wouldn't really necessarily think. And
Manscaped ITL MLB code.
By the way. Right. Oh, are you guys on the Manscaped thing
too? Yeah, we are. We got a deal.
I got a man. I do a Manscaped read every day, and it's the best part of my day.
Yeah, it's definitely something. But you're right. I unfortunately stood you up the last time because literally my entire world of technology broke.
Both of your computers broke, and you
what a nonsense excuse. All of my computers broke. I'm sorry, I can't do a show with you.
I could have done a show over a phone, but I expect higher quality from you, and I would expect it from myself. But this is a true like return to it, and I love that I could just say I need you to do the open, and you knew exactly what to do, because that is what we do. Joe Pisapia, myself, and Bogman have probably done upwards of like 300 thousands. Shows together.
Way more than that.
In a general sense of something like that, we've done so many shows together. We spent, you know, multiple times a week doing shows for years. And then Joe went off and he joined the big guys, and he went and he got important. He left these two, you know, little big men just hanging by their wayside. And Joe is now the host over at Fantasy Pros. You can catch him with Dan Harris. You can catch him with Tags and Kyle Yates. Football, baseball, it makes sense why you're there. And Joe, you found some time for us. Thank you, buddy.
It's important that I not forget the little people. What a big load of crap. Bogman's been on the podcast twice already. I tried to have you, but you decided to pick up everything.
Everything works now.
Yeah, but we're not doing guests now. We're just doing that morning leading off show. So maybe if you want to fill in for me one morning when I'm on vacation or something. But it's like, you know, Bogman came in to do two mocks with us, and then you decided to take all of your electronics at once and dump them into your pool. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. So I don't know.
I blew them all up. How's everything been going, man? You've been there for a bit now. We absolutely love Dan Harris, and it's amazing that Dan's personality is still the same as it is, having to do a show with you every single day. No, I'm just kidding. I love Dan. You guys are a great combo, but like, how you been doing, dude? Like, there's so much been going on. You're doing a daily baseball show. It's on YouTube. People can catch, and obviously on the podcast, you do football as well. You're just back. You're back in your grind, but you've got the full support of a big site, and you are the Fantasy Joe.
I am. I'm Fantasy Joe. I will say this. It was very cool to do the live draft coverage. I've never gotten to be part of live NFL draft coverage before, and that's something I always wanted to do. So that was a very cool thing to be able to do. It was 5 straight hours, no breaks, but it was still amazing. So that was really cool. And I love doing leading off with Harris every single morning. We do that show from 9 to 9:30, basically Eastern. It's a half hour baseball show where we recap, we look ahead, we do some DFS, we talk about stuff, we yell at the sky because we're two cranky old farts. Somebody just did the greatest thing ever. They made us Stadler and Waldorf, and they put us in the boxes and Fantasy Pros in the two box. And it is now my Twitter like wallpaper thing. It is the most perfect thing. Somebody did that, one of the listeners, and it's just
one of my favorite shirts is those two guys, and it says haters gonna hate.
That is so good. And see, I don't have to go and look at, like, you know, when we have guests on, I might be like, oh yeah, let me have their Twitter handle up just for like reference. Like, I'm not gonna do that with you, so I haven't seen that. That is amazing that you have that up there. I absolutely love that.
And Bogman is working very diligently, hopefully, on Black Books.
There it is. Yeah. What was the over-under?
We're four minutes in.
I think the over-under was 3.5. So
I thought it was going to be pre-show. Yeah. I thought the first thing, if I were Joe, I would have been like, hey, how are the pages coming? Because Boggs decided to put, as he described it to me, he likes to press himself up against a wall and put pressure to make sure it's out there. And I'm like, what are you doing again? He's like, oh, I'm doing IDP and rookies. And I'm like, but it's doing three
it
days.
You know what? It doesn't matter because,
hey, look, you know, whenever I start it, it'll get done real fast. Okay. That's really not that big a deal.
Also true. But the fun part is, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter. You can't be more stressing me out than Spore ever is. Because Spore is like, you know,
Spore won't answer for 3 days and tell you that IKF is not a good fantasy player.
I will tell you this. It's amazing, though. This was the first year pages were early, and I was like, boy,
did he get his before mine in the baseball? His were before his deadline, which is a first.
I don't know.
But his deadline is like 3 days after our deadline, right?
I always said there's like a regular deadline, then there's the Paul deadline, who I love dearly, and he knows, and yeah, I joke about this with him all the time.
He's a superstar.
But,
he's just
but,
like,
but,
he's
but
like,
Bogman yeah, actually called me early in the week and say, hey, just so you know, I know we haven't talked about it, but I have a plan of where I was like, oh, it's fine. I know it all gets done. It all gets done in the end.
Yeah. Well, and so
he said he emailed everyone like, hey, just want to get an update on everybody. How's everybody doing? And by
the way, everybody, everything doing okay? Everyone good?
Yeah.
Everyone's page is working?
I didn't see one response to that.
Oh, no, they respond directly to me.
Yeah, because you don't reply all.
People work for me are smart enough not to reply all.
Yeah, you don't reply.
Okay. Those are the kind of people
I hire. If you've ever worked in a corporate setting, you know not to reply
all. I don't know that they were that smart last year, because I do remember seeing people replying all and going, man, I guess I'm behind all these guys.
I fired all those people.
Oh, they're all gone. They're all gone. Well, you can now catch Joe, like I said, in all the places and all the things with Fantasy Pros, of course, best-selling author of The Black Book, and still does the wrestling podcast In This Ring right here on the In This League podcast network, this little old podcast network. So Joe, we're gonna do some player debates with you.
Okay.
Because it's classic ITL. This is a classic ITL show, but I do want to get I want to get your gauge here. We're gonna answer some questions, which is always great for you to do. But where are you guys at? What's been the pulse, especially as you did the live show and you guys have like audience in there and everything like that for the live YouTube? What's been the gauge and what was the level of excitement that you have with Jared Kelnick in the call-up? It's going to happen today as people are going to be listening. He's the top prospect in baseball. I already talked a bit about it. I'm going to be doing more this week. Like I already mentioned, CBS on Friday, tomorrow. So like I'm all in, but where are you and Dan on? And like, what's your level of all in on this top prospect?
Very excited. I just want somebody to play baseball who's not on the injured list. That's all I want. And I don't care who it is. Jeff McNeil left the game because of cramps yesterday, and I went on a 5-minute rant about cramps. And I wonder if Carlton Fisk ever had cramps catching back-to-back doubleheaders one day, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'll say this. I think, first of all, I think Wander Franco is still the number one prospect in baseball.
Me too.
Then I will say Jared Kelnick is very exciting. He's a very polished player, and I think that's, you know, and all the times that I've talked to you or Cross or seen him tape of him, I feel like that's the thing that comes across. He's a guy that's kind of major league ready. And now I get to watch him be really good for a very long time while I watch Edwin Diaz blow saves at some point in time as a Mets fan. So that's going to be fun. That's going to crop up again. But it's exciting because it's good for the Mariners fan base, because look, this Mariner team definitely is struggling offensively. And I think that it's good to start to show they've been bad for so long and they haven't been able to show, you know, the bounty of that. And usually in baseball, you do at a certain point, like 3-4 years. I feel like it's been we're talking like decades now where it's like, okay, we got to get
the longest
right.
playoff drought in North American.
And it's crazy
right
because
now.
They were such a good team there for a very long period of time.
Yeah, they set the win record.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they went from the Ken Griffey years into the Ichiro A-Rod years, and then it's so bizarre. And get Rodriguez coming up eventually too, you hope, but I think it's very good, and it's good that you're seeing Kirilloff come up right away, be good. I think you're going to see the same thing with
Do you think about Kelenic me when you see Kirilloff? When Kirilloff is good, do you, like, think about me at all? Like,
I think about
right
you
I
all
was?
The time. Okay, sometimes I just like to, sure. you know... Whenever they start talking about prospects, I just light a candle and I think of Welsh and I just, you know, give me a glass of
champagne. Turn off the lights. Light a candle.
So I saw, and I might be convoluting a little bit because I just glanced through it, but I saw a friend of ours, Scott White. Scott White had posted right when the call up came up, and I'm going to ask him about this, that I believe he had said that he is going to move Kelnick as a top 20 outfielder rest of season. And that's a big marker. So I decided to pull up Yahoo. Yahoo is a little bit wonky, of course. Though I will tell you, the preseason top 20, it's not littered with guys that should not be outfielders, even though Yahoo loves to do that. There are a couple like J.D. Martinez Stanton. Is in there. Yeah. Stanton, a couple of those guys. Well, he wasn't even preseason. But the range of the outfielder of the preseason, and then I'll give you the other one, would have him in the same general vicinity. Let's call it Michael Conforto, Teoscar Hernandez, Trent Grisham. That's the preseason. The current top 20 of outfielders, it's a little bit more complicated because there are some players that are not necessarily, but you would have him in the general range of, let's say, Ramon Laureano, Trent Grisham again, Nick Solak. So over under... I'm even move it. I'm going to say top 25 over under rest of season. Jared Kelnick is a top 25 outfield fantasy option.
It's possible. I think it's more like in that 25 to 30. Because I always think there's an adjustment period. Like, chances are he'll come up and be good right away. And the better he is, the more the league is going to want to figure him out. And the other thing that I worry about when it comes to Kelenic is something that Kirilloff didn't have to deal with, which is lineup protection. There's a ton of lineup protection in Minnesota. I mean, Byron Buxton, before he got hurt, was tearing the cover off the ball. Nelson Cruz is Nelson Cruz. I mean, they've got some sticks there. The problem is, in Seattle, like, who's protecting him? Kyle Seager? I mean, come on. Like, that's a joke. So that's my only concern, is that if he hits right away, then why you pitch to him at all? You know, they always want to challenge you with the fastball right away. That's what happens in Major League Baseball. And if you can, and if, you know, you meet the challenge, then they go, okay, kid, and now we'll sit back and we'll try to work you into the meeting and try to figure out if you're any good. But the problem is it's a lot easier to just pitch around him or to game plan for him when he's the only guy you got to worry about right now.
I mean, we don't always see that, though. Like, I agree with your point. Like, that was one of the things, like, Randy Rosarena was so successful at the end of last year, and the entire end of the season, it was just like fastballs. It was like 70% fastballs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, are we a little worried? Like, the league is going to adjust. And then they kind of did, and he did okay.
I was going to say, they kind of did by the end of the playoffs. They kind of
yeah,
did.
But he was still like, he still rocking superseded rolling, all of that. Yeah. But we've seen some of that in the beginning of this year as well. Not just like the fastball thing. It's fading me who the exact person was, but we're looking at like Adolis Garcia in the last episode. And like, I'm not the biggest Adolis Garcia guy. I think this is that first month. I think it's going to come down. I'd be trying to sell. I'm not sure if he completely goes out of nowhere and he just disappears, but he's a little bit different in that he's unique, that he's not only hitting fastballs at a 300 batting average rate, but he's also hitting breaking stuff at a 300 bat. So that's two mm-hmm. different, that he's really opening the zone up, but the guy was hitting sub 100 against off-speed stuff. So he doesn't have a feel for hitting changeups. This 28-year-old for changeups and curveballs and stuff like that, but he's having some success on sliders and the mix hadn't caught up. And I'm worried, like, after that period of time, the league adjusts, how will he adjust? I don't think Adolis is going to adjust, even though the one credit I would give, if you are hitting like breaking stuff that well, maybe you will succeed. Kelenic, I wonder how long that's going to work when they do try to pump fastballs, he finds success. And I think he's going to be a little bit streaky, but it sounds like you are taking the over 25
yeah, I
outfield.
Am. Well, rank. I'm also looking at outfield generally speaking too. And I think there's some guys there that have, you know, look, you know, guys like Starling Marte, they've been out hurt. You know, Ramon Laureano struggled at the beginning and now he's been very good. And, you know, I think that there's some guys in the outfield that have also really come on strong lately, like Jesse Winker's been really good. So, you know, besides your normal top 10 guys, I think you're going to see Conforto continue to pick things up. And there's that group, you know, Springer hasn't played at all. That's another name to go in there. Ozuna has had a slow start to the season. So, I think it's fair to put him in that range of talent. But look, if you are in a redraft league, I think if Kelenic's out there somehow, which I think is odd, then you go out there and you add him because, yeah, I think he's going to have a good stretch. And probably that first stretch would, in my opinion, potentially be the best one. And yeah. I think as much as you, and this is always the thing that we're faced with, when you love that player and you're right about that player and they come up and they're really good, consider what you can get off for them in the open market, because you never know what happens in the back end of a season. And typically it's not a very strong finish for those guys in August yeah. and September.
You wonder, Boggs, like if it's like a Luis Robert situation, because, you know, Robert was incredible. One of the best players in baseball for the first month and a half. Yep. And then he fell off the face of the earth and to be fair, not only did he fall off the face of the earth, he lost the Rookie of the Year award. He was a walkaway with this award in that first run, and he lost that.
It's what Joe said about adjustments, right? You know, it's the, you know, is he going to succeed and then get adjusted, or is he going to fail early and then he has to adjust? Like, that, it comes to that point with most rookies at some point in the year. So I think saying top 20 is a little bit ambitious. Does he have the talent to reach that? Absolutely. You know,
there's a measuring stick guy, Bogman. I'm gonna throw the name out. It's Alex Verdugo. Like, and everybody starts to talk about guys in the 20s of the outfield rankings.
Yeah, and he's on that list, by the way. That's a good one to pick.
Yeah. And that's the guy that comes to mind for me. So who would you rather have the rest of the season? Would you rather have Kelenic or Verdugo? I would rather have Verdugo, and I don't even hesitate about it. It's a different conversation in dynasty and keeper leagues, obviously, but in redraft logs, which way would you go?
I think I would go Kelenic, and okay. and I like and look Kelenic. I'm sorry, I've said it wrong a thousand times.
I would
times.
Like a well, Kelenic.
Kelenic,
I like,
yeah.
I would rather have a Kelenic. Than
I'd rather have Jared K because Alex Verdugo.
Alex V just gets in.
Alex V annoys me so much.
I know you hate him.
Yeah, no, but I respect his talent, and he hits leadoff for a team.
He looks like he churns
really
butter,
well.
By the way, right. like between innings, like when you look at his facial hair,
why are his cheeks always so red?
Can we do that next time I come on? Can we? We haven't done that in so no. Well, that's also fun, but we haven't done Guess Who in a long time. Remember we used to play Roto World Guess Who?
Yeah.
That was such a good game. I want to bring that back.
We should bring that back. You should have us on.
I am not allowed within 100 feet of a school.
You're like, oh,
that's clearly
Mike Fires.
This guy.
Mike Fires. Yeah. Yeah, quick on it. Quick on it, guys. I think it's a
who is
good
the closer
marker.
For the Pirates? That's the real guy that's actually not.
Oh, yeah. Not Mike Fires. Yeah. Vasquez.
Felipe Vasquez.
Vasquez. Yeah. Right. So I think it's a really great one. I'm an upside guy, and I might lean a little bit in Verdugo, but I do think I might be sacrificing. It's such a great one because I think you put that poll out there, and I think it's 80% Jared Kelenic. And I don't think that's right because I think they're way closer. And at the end of the year, even give those 20 games. Now, here could be the little difference. If you start the clocks Thursday to now in rest of season to Verdugo, I think Kelenic categorically could win three of those categories over him. And I think Kelenic could be more of a surprise on stolen bases. Another one I want to throw out here, this just came down. This happens to work because it's not in our open, is Logan Gilbert is getting the call. And it looks like from what I'm seeing, he is going to start on Thursday as well. And this is what's fascinating about this one, guys. I went on Prospect One this past week. I claimed that I'm having a good, like, prophetic Welsh Stradamus type of thing because I called this Kelenic call up. I claimed that I think Logan Gilbert might be the best starting pitcher in baseball, in minor league baseball, the top prospect. I have surpassed Mackenzie Gore. Logan Gilbert has moved past Mackenzie Gore. I don't have him at number one, but I'm making the claim that I think, and I was saying at the time, we could be on the precipice of him being the number one. He's not the most electric of all of the guys, but I think he's the most complete. He makes it look easy. He throws three pitches on command. He's a big bodied guy that comes over people, and he's pro ready. And the Mariners are calling him up, and he is going to get a start. I think he's a pickup. Someone asked me this question. Would you drop Sixto in redraft for Logan? And I said, yes, I would. Because Sixto's hurt. Sixto, you can't get right. You can't get good. I think I would go with Logan Gilbert right now. They're going to power up the offense. They've got defense. I like their infield defense. I think Logan Gilbert is the dude, and he's only pitched one game in the minor league so far this year. He went five, struck out five. I watched that game. He looked good. He was just slinging that curve. He's got this like little floaty high curveball he throws that guys can't hit. Slider fastball. Logan Gilbert is a dude, and he is getting called up, and he's a guy that I would be going to pick up. Joe, would you pick up Logan Gilbert?
Oh,
spot 100%. Sparting? Okay.
Here's the other thing too. And I don't know how, you know, if it's just for the one start or if they're going to, you know, keep him around there. I would say this also, whenever you look at players, you know, everybody wants to reinvent the wheel and sound really smart with all these deep stats, and some of them are really cool. But you know what? You go look at the hits per nine of Logan Gilbert, where it's like six. Okay, you know, so guys don't hit him. And then you look at anybody who's got a hits per nine at six and a walk per nine at two. That's a really good combination of things. And then you add a high strikeout rate on top of that. I mean, that's what you're looking for. That's their prototypical good fantasy pitcher. And you know, it's the only thing with Sixto, and I guess you could make this argument too. It's once again the long term. But look, if whoever's healthy, you always have to give kind of a little bit of a nod. So I get that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Gilbert's absolutely somebody in your mixed leagues you should add, and that's kind of shocking actually that they're really turning that page. I guess they're just sick and tired of being terrible. That's the only thing.
What you just said. You know, they're starting to see the fruits of the labor. Yeah. You know, of being so bad for so long. So,
yeah. And Logan is, he's ready. And I've talked with him before. He's a really like cool cucumber type of dude. He goes out, does his business. He's just like I said, he's not electric. Like I made the argument on Prospect One. Anyone wants to go back and listen, they can. I made this argument that like he's not the most electric as far as like, I think Mackenzie Gore is a little bit more exciting. Sixto is a bit more exciting. You know, he's pumping 99. It's moving all around. Nate Pearson sometimes when he hits 102. Kopech is more exciting. But like Gilbert, I think might be the best packaged complete like the better pitcher. Right, he's a better pitcher. He is well, that's a great command.
Everybody's
great pitches.
A thrower now. Everybody's lighting up the radar gun and nobody knows how to pitch. And it's just, it's so funny. The guys who do know how to pitch, pitch forever in the major leagues. But these guys who light up the radar gun never figure that out. You know, they burn out and then they fade away. And that's, it sucks for baseball. But it's just kind of true. And I worry about that with Kopech a little bit. I worry about with some of these other guys. But you got to give them a chance and see what they could do. But if Gilbert is as complete as you believe him to be, then I would imagine that's a guy that I think everybody should be targeting, even if you're in a shallow league, too.
I do. Someone was asking in 10, or they're asking in 10-team leagues.
What do you have to lose even in a 10-team league? It's not like pitching's that great.
No.
I just picked him up in my 10-man league as we were talking about him.
So. I think it's something you could do. And I want to give shout-out to my boy Frankie Stamps over at CBS, who put a tweet out and gave me that credit. He was obviously listening to Prospect One, because that's what I said this
who
past
doesn't?
Week.
Who so. Doesn't? Everybody listens
oh, everybody. To everybody loves prospects, right? It's the number one thing. When you think of fantasy sports, you're like, oh, I need to listen to baseball prospects. It's totally not niche, and it's totally going to get me places in my life, Joe, right? It's going to get me a job. You guys are just chomping at the bit over at Fantasy Pros. Man, we got to get that prospect guy in here. That's what's going to change Fantasy Pros.
You know what, though?
Have you heard the way he reads those Manscaped copy? I mean,
oh my God. You know, the thing, though, that it's, and I actually mentioned this on Leading Off this morning, we had this conversation, is the pitching this year has been the top guys have been pretty good. Like, as Neil Bieber, Garrett Cole, all those guys, Nola, all those guys have been great. DeGrom's been out of this world. And then the middle of pitching has been really disappointing. It's the back end guys that have been stunningly good. The Robbie Rays and Bumgarners and all for anybody who pitches for the Giants. It's just, it's crazy though. It's like all those, are those dart throw pitchers that you took have all like at the end of drafts going, I'll see if this guy, they've all seemed to have worked out. And then the weird part is like all the, like the kind of safe guys in the middle, the Kyle
Kenta Maeda's,
Kenta Maeda, Kyle Hendricks, like, oh, these are good middle rotation starters, have all bombed. Montas, all those guys, they have not been good. So that's kind of fascinating. That's very high low. And then guys like Carlos Rodon, who like was like, what? He's still alive.
Almost out of baseball, right?
Out of baseball. And he's like got a sub one ERA. It's nuts. Mm.
It's a wild time. It's cool that that happened here. So you, everybody watching, I might do, to be honest with you, I didn't plan on it, but I might do it now on our Patreon. I might do a live watch of the Mariners debut with Kelnick and Logan Gilbert. And I will be talking about both of them on Prospect One. That's good stuff. All right. A little player debate, get off the prospect talk. You want to do a little player debate action, bringing you back here, Joe, to your ITL roots, of course.
I love good debating. I want to all debate. Right. Let's debate.
Debate at least once a day. It helps me sleep.
Go away, yes. Debating. So I put these out on the Twitterverse today just to get a little bit of a reaction going along with them. And the first one is the one I brought up in the last episode. Almost didn't want to do because I was afraid it was going to go in one direction. But let's have a conversation about it. I have the vote out. I gave the stats. Raimel Tapia versus Austin Meadows. Tapia coming into Thursday or Wednesday had a 306 average, 4 homers, 4 stolen bases, 20 runs, and 20 RBIs. Austin Meadows, the more highly touted prospect, hitting 189, but 7 homers, 1 more run. He has 17 runs, but only 1 stolen base and 17 RBIs. So Raimel Tapia takes 3 of the 5 categories. He continues to rocket, and he's in Colorado, but Meadows is hitting the homers, has some underlying stats that look good, but the average is not there. So, Joe, rest of season, Colorado's Tapia or Rays Meadows? Who do you want?
I don't understand, and you know this, we've been doing shows a long time, the fascination, I don't get it, of Austin Meadows. Like, I know he had that good run. He had a couple really good months in 2019, and it padded his stats incredibly, looked great. And he struggled mightily in the middle of that summer, and then afterwards, if everybody recalls, then he kind of righted the ship towards the end and did bounce back and was good at the end of the season. But he had a really long stretch there where he struggled. Over his last 70 games, he's hitting 200 with 11 home runs, and he has got 30 RBI. That's it. That's what he's got over his last 70 games. How am I supposed to get excited about this guy? And I don't want to hear any more about the COVID stuff last year, and it was a weird season, all this stuff. You know, but Jose Abreu didn't have any trouble. And I'm sick and tired of it. Give me Tapia. He plays in Colorado. He's at the top of the order. And I don't think he's going to hit for as many home runs as Austin Meadows might. But in terms of run production, in terms of batting average, I mean, the things that you probably want, I mean, Coors is going to, you know, support some of those things. I'm shocked at the results of this poll, too, because it is very one-sided. It's like 70-30 for Austin Meadows. And like, when are we done with this pretty boy? I'm over it. I can't. And meanwhile, right on top of his hair game is so much stronger. I mean, I can't even handle it. I'm annoyed.
It is. And like you said, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised about the results as well. I'm not surprised that Austin Meadows won, but I'm surprised that it is 69.5% in favor of Austin Meadows to only 30% Tapia, because Boggs, you know, you're going to jump in here, but I'm going to go Tapia too. I'm not saying it's by a wide margin, because Meadows, I think, will get better. But is Meadows going to get to the point where he's hitting 270 on the end of the year? I'm not sure. The power's there. That's great. But Tapia's got more RBIs. He's stealing bases. Good batting average. He's in Colorado. He's hitting at the top of the lineup. And I don't have a struggle. The one thing I have done so bad this year in fantasy, the worst element of my fantasy season has been my overreaction to being like, oh, don't even worry about batting average. I'll just figure that out. I did a bad job at that. I have a lot of teams that have bad batting average. Luckily, I'm pulling through in places and it's being okay. But my bad batting average teams are bad. So in that case, I can do with Meadows, but Tapia, I don't have that worry. He's a true five-tool player that people just are not comfortable with. I think by the end of the year, Tapia can be worth more than Meadows, but not by a lot. So I'm also going to go Tapia. The Polars want Meadows. So are you going to tie this bad boy up?
I'm going to sweep it. It's going to be Tapia for me as well. Wow. And this is one of those that's when you look at the Savant pages for these guys, it's counterintuitive, right? Because Austin Meadows does have more red. He's in the 79 percentile for average exit velocity. Raimel Tapia is at the 13%. He's blue. Max exit velocity. Meadows is higher. He's higher in hard hit rate. He's higher in X WOBA. X batting average is one of the very few things, I think. Batting average and K rate is what Tapia is better than in those main hitting categories on Savant. So you can see the underlying stuff for Austin Meadows says he's going to get better, but is he going to get better to the point where, you know, he's going to become a five tool guy like Tapia? I don't think so. And I think Tapia is one of those, you know, guys that he's never going to crush the ball. He'll hit home runs specifically in Colorado because he has some power, but he doesn't have to hit you 30 homers because he's going to steal bases and hit for a high batting average. And even if he's mashing the ball into the ground, he's still getting the first half the time because he is so fast. So I think this is kind of an easy one. And he is in the 79 percentile in sprint speed as well. So Tapia is. So I'm going to stick with Tapia here. There's a little worry about lineup protection, especially if they get rid of Story, like Joe was mentioning earlier before with some of those Seattle players. But I think Tapia is going to hit leadoff for the Rockies for the rest of the season.
He's
and I want to have
anywhere.
That. I want to have that Rockies leadoff guy.
Yeah, let me tell you something else. I'm going to throw this out there. I was never impressed with Meadows when he was in the Pittsburgh system. I watched him play a bunch and I was like, I don't get it. I don't see what everybody else is seeing. Like, this guy jumps off the page. And I want to say he came in the same draft class as Clint Frazier, if memory serves.
Yeah, because they aren't they good friends.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that was the same draft class. And I remember watching those two guys and I went, well, Austin Meadows just looks like your run-of-the-mill major leaguer to me upside. I watched Clint Frazier and I saw the explosive hands. I saw the
freaking bat speed. Yeah, totally.
I was like, geez, like this, if this big red kid could ever, you know, get it straight here and make consistent contact, this is the guy. And it's, and look, I know he's had his issues, you know, so far this season to start the year, but I don't know. Like I said, I think people get fascinated with a guy because he was a prospect, but also don't forget when a prospect is supposed to be so great and they get dealt by an organization, that should be a giant red flag for you. Oh, sometimes
should it? Jared Kelnick? Or are you saying Jared Kelnick here? Are you saying?
Well, I'm not saying I'm saying an organization where
not the Mets, a real organization.
Well, real organization. No, no, but an organization where they said Austin Meadows is part of the future. The Mets were a win now, always trying to, you know, catch up and be relevant kind of team. But you are sold to Bill of Goods if you're a Pirates fan, is Austin Meadows part of the long-term plan? You went from being part of the long-term plan to being a guy who is available. That is kind of a weird thing. And I just always felt like that's something that And then you look at the track record of what they've turned out too. Polanco's been a bust, right? You know, like some of those outfielders haven't really become the players they thought. I mean, Marte's been a nice player, but other than that, it's
their evaluation's a little bit questionable. I think Meadows is still fine, but I think it is overplayed in the value, and I'm second guessing it a little bit. But I also, it's been my push about Tapia, so I'm actually surprised you guys went with the Boggs. I'll just do the rest of these because you got all the listener questions. But I'm going to start with you because I don't remember where we left off with this one. And we talked about this last week. The next one up is Adolis Garcia versus Cedric Mullins. This was one I was like super excited about because I was crapping all over Garcia and just not wanting him. And, you know, maybe I was hesitant to move Mullins earlier in the year, and he's just been incredible. Mullins hitting .308, six homers, four stolen bases, 20 runs and 12 RBIs. Adolis obviously has been monstrous, .292 batting average, nine homers, three stolen bases, 26 RBIs. Both are within .04 of BABIP, but they are not the same type of hitter as far as strikeouts and walks go. And Cedric Mullins from the listeners is the clear winner here with a 65% win over Adolis Garcia. But what say you, Boggs?
I'm going to go with the listeners here. It's Cedric Mullins for me. And I like Adolis Garcia a lot, and what he's doing has been incredible. But I think when you boil it down to these guys, specifically a guy in Adolis Garcia who is 28 and having his breakout year, you look at some of the underlying stuff. I mean, his Savant page is impressive. You know, you look at it and it's awesome. But I think the thing that really bothers me about him is the 5.3% walk rate. So, you know, really, really low there. And then the over 30% K rate. Like that just to me is a precursor. It's like when the little earthquake thing goes off right before the earthquake happens. Like that's what you're seeing right there. Cedric Mullins, you know, a good player, hitting .300 right now, six homers, four swipes. He's doing a little bit of everything, and he is a 8.9% walk guy, but only a 17.7% K guy. So I'm going to take less volatility. The lineup isn't as good in Baltimore, but it's comparable to Texas, I think. And he's hitting leadoff. I fear the bottom falling out for Adolis Garcia. So it's going to be Cedric Mullins for me, fairly easy.
Everyone knows I'm going to go Mullins here. It's clear. I was not an Adolis Garcia guy. So Joe, I'm actually still surprised that we swept the first one, but in the exact opposite direction of the listeners. Are we going to sweep this one as a collective group with the listeners?
We are. Listeners got it right this time. And I like Garcia too, especially if you need power. I think this is a guy that will hit home runs most of the year. But when you go back and look at the minor league track record too, in 368 games, you had a strikeout in every single one of them and on average. And then he only has 69 walks. And whenever you have those guys who have those low OBPs and, you know, the big time strikeout rates, you have to, you know, it's a slugger guy, he's all or nothing. If you need that on your roster and you're bereft of power, he's actually a good guy to keep around. But I think overall productivity, Mullins is definitely the guy. You know, for everybody bitching about Trey Mancini, he's got like 30 RBI already on the season, and seven or eight home runs. I can't remember which. So his slow start is pretty good compared to a lot of people. And Mountcastle's starting to pick things up a little bit. So I don't think the Orioles are as bad as people want to make them necessarily. I think they will continue to get a little bit better offensively as the year goes. But give me Cedric Mullins too. Top of the order, really good skill set. I like what I've seen so far. He takes good at-bats too. I was watching him actually in the Mets game the last few days here. And I like the way he takes an at-bat too. He's got a little bit of speed also, which is nice. So I think it was all the way around Cedric Mullins. And you know what? I got to tell you, that was not a player I was on.
No.
As some people, you know, this earlier in the season we're talking about, and those people were definitely right. He's definitely a player worthy of your fantasy attention.
Well, and also there's a little of a trend that's going on here. There's two players in Mullins and Tapia that they don't light up the excitement charts against like these two big power hitters. And, you know, there's a preconceived Meadows thing and Adolis is hot right now, but those two guys are just good all around. The last one though, this was a Bogman special and he really wanted one of these guys. And I struggled with who to pair him against. And then I got kind of excited because I was like, I think this is a good pairing here. But the listeners kind of again went in a specific direction. So I'm curious where it's going to go here. And you have Jesus Aguilar versus Ty France. Aguilar, .283 batting average, .283, eight homers, 16 runs, 29 RBIs. He has been very, very streaky, and he is going versus Ty France, who started off really hot, has cooled down to 232, but has 3 homers, 20 runs, and 14 RBIs. There's a new injection of offense in Jared Kelnick coming to that Mariners offense. He can play around. Ty France was a guy that people were really bought into. So, Joe, what do you think here? What do you think? Ty France or Aguilar rest of year?
Well, I go back to Jesus Aguilar with the Indians in that system. I remember in my dynasty league years and years ago, I had drafted him in my minor league system and I had him in there. He was always a really good RBI guy. You know, the power was good, not great, but it was more like he knew how to drive in runs, which is kind of a lost art form. He's going to play every day in this lineup. He's going to be that guy in the middle of the order somewhere. I think the slugging percentage is going to come down a little bit. I mean, he's got as many home runs as he had all of last year in the 60-game season. So that's great that that's happened already. I think if you're a team that's battling in the standings, then I think you want Aguilar because I think you kind of know what you get. I think if you're a team that's not at the top right now, I think there's more upside with Ty France because you've seen that, you know, he was so red hot in the spring that had to eventually slow down. It filtered it over the first couple weeks of the season and then it kind of slowed down. That's just baseball. It's a game of streaks. So I think France has more upside. So if you're looking for a buy low, I think France is an interesting one because I think he's better than some of the numbers he's got right now. But I think if you're a team that's really competitive at the very top and you can't afford to not be good every single week right now, then I think it's Aguilar. So this one's a little bit more roster specific for me, if that makes sense. I'm not sure which way the listeners go. I imagine they say Aguilar too because they feel more comfortable with him because they've seen him more.
Yeah, I'm going to let with Boggs go last because this was his guy, but this we had the least lopsided, but they're all kind of lopsided. Aguilar won 63%. Ty France is in there. And I got to tell you, I think it is extremely difficult at any time to say you're not for a player that is hot. I mean, Jesus Aguilar is a stud. He's winning leagues right now, but I worry about the consistency of him and doing it long term. I think the smart play is to say Aguilar because of the front that he has. But like, if I'm really looking at the rest of the season, I think I'm just going to still say Ty France. He's lowered his strikeout percentage. He's walking more. BABIP is way down from compared to last year, but even probably 20, 25 points down from where he would regularly be. He had a hot start. He cooled off. He might be as streaky, but he's multi-position eligible. You know, this isn't one I could I would not drop Aguilar for Ty France. It doesn't make sense. But if I'm one for one at the end of the year, I think I'm going to go with Ty France because I have a hard time believing Aguilar goes the rest of this year. But boy, is he freaking rocking right now. And it can make this one sound dumb. But what do you think, Boggs? Is this still easy Aguilar for you? Joe kind of took both sides-ish, but in different circumstances. Well, look, but you took Aguilar overall.
I took Aguilar overall, but I think you have to – I'll tell you what. If you had Aguilar right now and you could get Ty France and another piece for him, I would do that trade if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys are still really close, right? I don't think this is like a bad pairing at all. For me, it is going to be Aguilar. And I think he's changed a little bit too. I mean, just looking at his huge year when he hit 35 homers and everyone was riding his chalk, right? 35 and he drove in 108, like Joe was alluding to. He still struck out a bunch, 25.3%. The walk rate was low at 10.2% this year. It kind of started out because he wasn't hitting homers to start the year. You guys remember that? I think he had like one in the first month. So now he's all the way up to 8. And I think they're changing him a little bit. He's swinging at fewer pitches. He's walking at his highest rate, which is 12%, which is right around, you know, last year he's 10.6, 11.7 the year before that. So he's been over 10% for a while. But the strikeout rate is way down for him, 15.8%, which would be a career low. So I feel like something is changing with Aguilar. It's like they said, hey, look, we want you to think like a slap hitter, but, you know, so don't swing at everything. But when you hit it, it's going to go because he's enormous. You know, he's gigantic. So when you hit it, it's going to go. So just trust that the power is going to be there and concentrate on getting a little more contact. And that's what he's been doing this year. So I love Jesus Aguilar and I like what he's been doing. Definitely a streaky guy, like you guys have said before. But right now, I think you got to ride him. So it's Aguilar kind of easy for me.
Yeah, you know what's funny? He's like a big guy. And if you guys, people forget this, but David Ortiz was a big guy who didn't hit home runs either early in his career.
Right.
Until he got to Boston. And it's funny because he was one of these guys like, he just wasn't hitting a ton of home runs, 18 home runs, 20 home runs. And he got to Boston. And all of a sudden, he dropped to 30 and the rest is history. But sometimes you get this where the bigger guys just, you know, they don't. Like you're saying, it's better for you just to keep making consistent contact, try to hit doubles, and then some of those doubles are going to fly out of the ballpark because you're a bigger, stronger guy. And I think that's a much better approach for Aguilar, because I don't think he is the same kind of talent as an Ortiz. But it's funny, sometimes, you know, you see these bigger guys, these big, strong guys, you just go, oh, he should hit for power, and some of those guys don't. I was always like, Lorenzo Cain to me was always the prototypical, like, you see Lorenzo Cain, you're like, look at this physical specimen of an athlete. And he was never going to be like a 35 home run kind of, like, never 30 even for that matter. But you looked at him and you just thought, like, he's just a big, strong kind of athlete looking guy.
But there's Lorenzo Cain and then there's Kyle Blanks, right? And
Kyle Blanks, another big, yeah. He's Aguilar somewhere in between.
Boggs knows I loved. I absolutely love Kyle. I really hope we have a Kyle Blanks.
Mr. PCL. He actually had that title.
I know. PCL. And I pray we have a Kyle Blanks email.
Maybe him and Brandon Allen can do a buddy cop show together.
I would watch it. Let's see if there's a question in the ball bag, which we're going to do right now. ITLBallBag@gmail.com. That is the email. Send them in. Look for tweets. Respond. Show us love. Shower us with praise, especially when we have wonderful guests on like Joe Pizzapia, Mr. Scott Bogman. What do the people want to know?
The first one is a troll one from Jag, of course. Awesome. And he says, no one is more invested in AJ Pollock this season than our guy Bogman. Can we get an update on how many games this dude Pollo has played so far this season? AJ Pollock has played 30 games.
Oh, already. Okay. And how many has Posey played? Let's take a look here, Boggs.
Welsh and I have a Posey versus Pollock bet because I just know Pollock's going to end up on the IL for 3 months at some point. So,
yeah, Bogman is so blind to his hate of AJ Pollock that he took a bet against a catcher in Posey, and Posey's played 23.
Posey looks fresh. Yeah, he looks fresh, though. I mean, this is a guy who really hasn't played much in a while. So
let me ask you this. With the injury history of AJ Pollock, Welsh, how confident do you feel 7 games up here in the middle of May?
I'd like to get a little bit more of a lead, you know, a little bit more of a tiny, like, give me like 4 or 5 more games. But I'm feeling good about that. I like that troll tweet. Always be looking out for AJ Pollock. All right.
This one's a fun one, too. It says, yo, Bogman the Welsh and super amazing, fantastic guest, Joe Pizzapia. We could talk about the 35 no-hitters we're going to have this year. We could talk about the new ball. We could talk about how hitting could warm up with the weather. But this topic has come up on other podcasts. I'm always fascinated by it. Walk-up music. Am I right? What's your favorite you've heard, past or present? And what would you choose for yourself? Keep bringing the noise and bringing the funk. I hate that. I hate myself for that. You guys are the best. And that is from our guy, Jack.
You were struggling with Jack's.
I was. Yeah, I was on the struggle bus.
Yeah, that was a little struggle.
I was struggling like AJ Pollock struggles to stay healthy.
What would the walk-up music be?
Well, you know, it's funny we were talking about this because I literally just had this conversation over the weekend when Tawny Kitaen passed away. The greatest walk-up music story ever. Do you guys know this story?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay. So, you know, Tawny Kitaen, the White Snake girl, right? She was the one on Dancing on the Cars. Many of us who are now in our 40s, probably a very, very important person in our life at a certain point when we were teenagers. So anyway, she was this, you know, beautiful model woman. And
she was the one that beat up Chuck Finley, right?
And this is where we're going. So her and Chuck Finley, who is, boyfriend, husband at the time, whatever it was.
Bogman loves to ruin stories.
Whatever Bogman can do to ruin a story. I looked her up and it said married to Chuck Finley. I didn't know this was part of the story.
She was married. It is part of the story. Married to Chuck Finley. And then the whole abusing of Chuck Finley, where this whole thing came out and he threw her out of the house and all this stuff. And he was pitching for the Angels at the time. And he went to take the mound in Chicago against the White Sox. And the PA announcer guy or whatever, whoever's in charge of the music there, played Here I Go Again by On My Own by Whitesnake when Chuck Finley went out there to warm up. And it just, again, if this was the internet time, this would have gone viral and been hilarious, right? So there's Chuck Finley, and then there's, ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Finley, starting pitcher today. Here I go again on my own. And they just totally trolled him, and the guy got fired and lost his job. And I think that is the worst thing ever. I think it's hilarious. I mean, come on. Yes, sensitivity, but it's not his own ballpark.
I love troll walk-up music. It might be one of the best things about baseball when they do that type of stuff. Oh, totally, 100%. But what would does anyone have an ironic? Like, Joe, do you have an ironic? Or, like, what would have to be yours? Be it ironic or just, like, your love. I feel like your love would be, like, something from Who is your guy? I was about to start cursing. The guy you love that just died. I'm forgetting his name. He had all the vocal stuff.
Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell.
That was two, 3 years ago. You love it. I do. Yeah, but you're not gonna have a. I mean, there's some good Audio Slave songs. You know, like Your Time is Done. That would be a good walk up song. That I could handle that one. I think maybe something off Folklore by Taylor Swift. Maybe something that people aren't looking for. You know, something very sensitive, I think, kind of throws the pitcher off guard. Maybe I like go the that
sensitive.
Way.
I like that. Yeah, what about you, Bugs?
I would just come out to some opera, you know, something like that, I think would be hilarious, you know, anything like that. But I like it when the teammates will punk each other. Like, I remember It's Raining Men sometimes for a guy walking up when a guy's like hitting like real bad. They'll do something
or
like
when your
goofy.
Wife throws a show at you, you play the famous song that she danced half naked on a card to. That's right. Funny.
Exactly. Yeah. I always, did you ever see the, like the organ player in LA when Fernando Tatis came up to hit the other day, they played, I Saw the Sign, the Ace of Base thing, which I thought was pretty funny. I like those little moments, but I don't know that I have one that I would like really love. So,
well, she got one.
I've got one. I would, this is what I would, let me make sure I have this right. This is what I would walk up to.
So go Akiyama.
Oh, of course. There you go.
You are outside your mind right now.
That could be a song.
I queued up for, no, it can't.
Yeah, you know what time it is. Straight out of Yokosuka, Kanagawa, Shogo Akiyama.
Play ball.
Shogo Akiyama. Your mama.
And what would be so great about that is I wouldn't be Shogo Akiyama. And everyone would be like, why is this song playing about a completely different player? Hopefully I would be playing against the Reds. So that would be my walk-up song.
Nice if Shogo Akiyama played for the Reds.
Yeah. I just remember, this is Bogman's walk-up song right here.
Yo, Scott. Yeah. Eric Burns here. Yo, Scott. What's up, my dude? Eric Burns here. What's up, my dude?
All right, so there you go.
Whatever happened to that guy? I haven't seen him in a long time.
Well, who, Eric Burns?
I got a surprise I'm going to mention at the end of the episode so everyone wants to listen to for Eric Burns. All right, what's the next question?
The next one is Bogman Welsh. I just saw the strangest thing while watching the Giants versus Rangers game. Logan Webb hit IKF on the ass, pulled out his phone, and tweeted Spore. That's weird.
Why was his phone? Why do you have his phone?
Yeah. Wait, does he hate Isaiah Kiner-Falefa?
We missed the whole thing.
He's on our labor team, which is why that's very funny. Because I drafted him on our labor team. So he's been very good.
We had this offseason episode where we had Spore and Mason on. And I had this whole thing queued up. I was like, listen, I think there's a strategy. IKF qualifies at catcher on Yahoo. Yeah. I think this could be a top five catcher this year. 100%. I went through all this stuff. Mason agreed with me, and Spore took a huge dump, cursing everything. And because he did that, everyone has trolled him all year long. And that he, and as he should, by the way, you have to play the villain in this. He has put his foot down on IKF as the season has gone on. So he's playing it perfectly. But now people associate, even though it was my take, they associate IKF with Spore because of how much
hilarious.
He hates him.
Hate that it's like we're top four in labor and we've had so many.
You want to know who the number two? You want to know who the best hitter in all of baseball in standard 5x5 Yahoo has been the last 2 weeks?
Who?
IKF.
Yeah. IKF. Uh-huh. Hey man, I got him in my home league too. I took him. I was like, dude, you qualify a catcher or you qualify multiple positions and you play every day. Sure. Like, you know, let's take him. He's cheap. He doesn't cost anything. That's really funny that he hates him. And it makes a lot of sense because Mason and I were left to ourselves a half hour into that draft because that was, remember when Texas went cold and everything blacked out and you couldn't everything was frozen in Texas for a week. It was during that. So we had him for a half hour and then Mason
agrees.
The rest.
Yeah. Cause Mason agrees. So, all right. Is there a question in here or just being a good
deeper
troll?
Leagues. Do you think Cal Quantrill has to start at starting at some point in Cleveland this season? Seems like the number five spot is in flux, and Quantrill has been mostly solid since being dealt for San Diego. Just don't look at his K percentage so far this season. And that is from our guy, Steve.
I think so. I think Cal is a starter. That's how I believe he is. But yeah, he does not strike out guys. I think he's better suited in just kind of like a seventh inning, get out of it type of role, but he was built as a starter. And I think he's going to be just one of those boring ass like number fives that has, you know, like a 6 or 7 K per nine. I don't know how much I'd be excited about him, but in big, deeper leagues, I think he can get there. So sure.
I think if you have to change his name to something else, because I think whenever you have somebody's name that you recognize from their daddy played baseball, everybody automatically overinflates them a little bit. So call him Cal Johnson, and then think about whether or not like you want to, you know, be Troquel. So excited about him.
Troquel. Like, it's going to be, baseball's going to be rough in like 15 years when it's just like, there are just no, like, no normies are going to be in there. It's just going to be sons and cousins.
It's all the coaches' sons and next player's sons. Yeah.
Wait till the NFL when half the league is Cromarties. So,
that's going to be a hell of a draft class.
This one says, for redraft leagues, when do you think Jaren Duran / Alex Manoah will be up this year? And when would you consider stashing one, if at all? Thanks. And that is from Jared J. What do you think?
Oh, it's a prospect question. Redraft leagues, I think both are going to be up. I want to be like safe about it. Like, I think before June 15th. So like, this is preemptive time. I think like Gilbert is a big sign to the league. Manoah is as good and as like ready and a bigger strikeout guy. Maybe not quite as good, but like, I think he has more pitches, bigger strikeout option, and he might be a little bit sexier. So I think Manoah could be even before Duran. And I think Duran is within the next month, especially if an injury goes down. So if you are preemptive in leagues, those are two very good guys to be preemptive about.
I have a prospect question. Can I be in the
ballpark? Yeah, yeah. This question is from Joe Pizzapia.
Joe Pizzapia,
First time, long time. How you guys doing? What did you think so far about Green and Lodolo with the Reds off to that hot start for that minor league system there? Because those are some pretty big starts there, where Green's throwing like, you know, 37 pitches, 100 miles an hour, and you got Lodolo looking good too. I mean, those two guys, you know, look like they could be fast tracked too at some point. Cause the Reds are a team that's so fascinating to me, guys. Cause they have all these good pieces and nothing's come together at the right time for them. If God forbid, like for the rest of that Central, if it all does, cause they have a lot more pitching than the Cardinals and they have a lot more hitting than Milwaukee. Like, it's a weird kind of situation with them, but it just doesn't feel like they've gotten right. But what do you think about those two guys so far?
Well, Green's not coming up this year. There's 0.0% chance with the injuries and stuff, but I've always loved Green. I still have him as a top 100 prospect. I've always loved him. Mm-hmm. He's finally learned to not throw straight line, and he's putting some spin on the ball a little bit, and he's hitting 102. I was watching the other day whatever team he's on, and they're just like, third inning he hit 102 just randomly after hitting 99. So I think he's a great dynasty guy. Lodolo, I think, is up this year, and I don't think he is the biggest, sexiest option. I like Gilbert more than him, but I think Lodolo will get some run, but this is later in the year. I want Manoah over Lodolo if I were trying to pick up a prospect pitcher right now and you didn't get Gilbert. I think Lodolo is like a second half type of guy, but he's pretty solid. I think, like, think of Brady Singer when you think of Lodolo. I think that's how that'll go. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Time for two more.
Let's do two to three more.
All right. How long before Huascar Ulloa and Freddy Peralta are considered to be a fantasy SP1 or
that,
2?
That one doesn't count. Never, Barry. Get out of here, Barry.
No,
that
hold
count.
On. Freddy Peralta is for real. You know,
is he a fantasy number one?
He's not
going to
be an SP2, right?
You know, I don't, not this year, but next year, I don't rule it out. He's looked that good to me this year so far. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to, I was a very big Freddy Peralta guy. I got him everywhere. So I'm loving the start to the season, but I don't think that's that far away. I don't think it's this year. You know, I haven't seen enough yet. So I can't really speak to that.
Who has more hits at the end of the year, Ulloa or Ohtani? The guy can hit, for God's sake.
He can, but my Shohei Ohtani spite store is my favorite thing in the world. And it is going strong right now. I got every version of him, the hitter, the pitcher, the right fielder, the left fielder, the center, any Ohtani's, like Bugs Bunny. I just got him everywhere. It's great.
I love it.
Who are some of your all-time league winner players? These players can be guys who you picked up off the wire in the year that just shoved all your year and helped carry you to your team, to your title, or even a draft pick that just put on your team. Put your team on their back the whole season, or even super late ads, that kind of stuff. So do you have like a
because he's saying Oscar Ulloa is in that territory for him. And he, and I mean, yeah, I think I think it's a sell-ish time, especially if you, if everybody's thinking like that. He asks, like, is this sell? Like, I like, you know, but if you guys are all thinking this is like league winner, and I would sell out of it. But I feel like we keep getting this question where it's like, who's the guy that won you a championship and stuff? Like, the only one, I know there's a billion of them. The only one that keeps coming to mind is CC Sabathia, when I traded for him for at Lex to nothing.
Chris Shelton.
Yeah, for no, I traded him for like Jake Westbrook or Troy Gloss or something. This was his Cy Young year where he went to the Brewers. And I I dominated. So that was like a huge one that jumps out to me. But I've had a boatload of them. They just aren't coming to mind.
Honestly, this question is why I'm glad that we're not doing the 40-man rosters in September anymore, right? Because some of those guys used to jump up and just help some of those loser teams either cruise through the playoffs or, you know, get into the playoffs and then win. So I'm kind of happy for that. Yeah, I don't have one that like jumps off the top of my mind. Joe, do you have one?
I have a funny one that is won it for me, but it was on somebody else's team because he was so bad one day, which is something I'll never, ever forget. It was a Sunday and it was a championship. It was a lot of money on the line. And Braden Looper, all he had to do was go get the save for this guy. And this was a head to head points format because I play with men. We played and I was behind. I was behind like 10 points or something like that. Well, I was like, here we go. Braden Looper proceeds to walk the bases loaded, gives up a grand slam, gets the loss, gets all the earned runs and the blown save, gets a minus 17 for the guy. And I end up winning by 7 points. I'll never forget it. It was most magic. And I got to watch it because it was like a cut in at the time. And I was watching it happen. They cut into the game and it was blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching it going, well, there's my season. It was a good run. And that was magical. So Braden Looper, thank you. One of the names from the past. I've also blown a near perfect fantasy season where I think I was like, I don't know, like 20-2 or something like that. And I was cruising and the guy I played in the playoffs picked up off the waiver wire for 2 starts, Brett Oberholzer, who ended up having a complete game shutout and then threw a guy like another win that same week. And I'll never forget that. Cause I was like, who the F is this guy? Brett Oberholzer. Yeah. And I was so mad. And actually at the end of that week, the guy I played, he's like, I'm sorry. He actually texted me, dude, I'm sorry. This is nonsense. Like he couldn't even look himself in the mirror because it was so embarrassing. I was like, hey dude, that's the way it crumbles sometimes. And then the funniest part is about a week ago on Facebook, Brett Oberholzer, people you may know in Facebook, is like, no, I don't want to know that guy ever.
You should get him on. You should absolutely do it. That's
hey, Brett, welcome to the show. Why did you F me that year? Huh? What's your
Brett Oberholzer Award? Is that what it should be called?
Well, he's like selling cars somewhere in like, I don't know. He's like
he could have lived off of the percentage of money he won people if you know fantasy players just got 5% or whatever. Let's do one more. This is a pickup one, and we'll leave with this one. But this is from Josh. He said, "Could you do a who would you drop for Brujan? Trying to figure out a Brujan stash value right now in a 16-team OBP league. I'm debating dropping Andrew Vaughn or Ryan Weathers.
No, don't drop either one of those guys. I'm sorry.
Definitely not.
Vaughn's starting to hit. He's walking. He's making contact now. And everybody else is hurt. I mean, this is Vaughn's time to shine. And Pujols didn't sign with the White Sox. So Tory La Russa to bring him in. So, could you imagine that drunken conversation where La Russa called up Pujols? Hey, what's going on?
Why did you come in for us?
You want to play out your contract year?
What are you going to do with Pujols? Or what are you going to do with the Abreu, coach? Yeah. We'll figure it out. Just come
here. Just go on down. I'm not going to pick you up. Well, I'll remember? Pick you up. It's all
I only
good.
Called whatever. You because I'm out of stoplight.
2006 was so awesome. You remember 2006 was so good.
Now realizing the stat I was looking at, by the way, I just want to make a correction. My IKF number 2 last 2 weeks, I think that was AL only. I think I was looking at AL only because I couldn't find Weathers on here. I just wanted to look at his stats. And yeah, Weathers has been
good.
20 strikeouts, has a save, a couple wins in there. I mean, I think Weathers
and
is a Danielson future starter
Lamette's
as well.
Arm is going to fall off at any minute. So.
It's already doing it. Yeah, I do think Brujan is somebody that people should start prioritizing because I think Brujan and Wander are going to be up this year. I'm not sure Brujan beats Wander because Brujan's also working through some other positions. And like, if he comes up, he might be a super utility guy. So don't release like those type of guys, like release like the losers, but he should be someone to prioritize, but you must be like in a really good spot. If the only two guys you could email us about in the 16 team league was Andrew Vaughn and Ryan Weathers,
it's very true.
You're doing all right, but you can find some other guys, but Brujan is going to be a big huge stolen base power guy you should be looking at, but I don't think until like into June you should start paying attention.
Not only that too, but Weathers in a lot of leagues qualifies at RPNSP, which is depending on your league format too. That's a tricky little bug there. Just be careful of that.
Tricky little nugget there.
Well, be careful of that.
He is Joe Pizzapia. You can find him on Twitter at Joe Pizzapia 17. You can catch him over on Fantasy Pros. Joe's
Fantasy Bros.
Fantasy Bros. I was gonna say Fantasy Joe's, and then I tried to say the real name, and then it just went to Fantasy Bros. Maybe that's a new one as well. But you've got multiple podcasts you're doing. You're on the football, the baseball side. You're with the magnificent Dan Harris and all of his wonderfulness. And we just miss you, Joe. So congrats on all of the success. It's real. It's really there.
I am very glad to be back. I miss you guys as well. We still talk quite a bit, but we don't do as many shows together. But you know, hopefully that'll change someday. You never know. The crazy fates have done that. But I come on here. I plan on coming on your show as much as I can this summer to hoard the hell out of that black book if Bogman ever finishes his pages. So
yeah, right.
You know, we'll try to make that all work at some point.
Good luck. Good luck with it. Don't hold your breath or anything like that, but make sure you do your show. So like I said, best-selling author, Fantasy Pros, rock star. He's Joe Pizzapia. And you can now go play with the big guys. You can...
I love ITL. I love the ITL people. And you're my favorite ITL people, but I still work here. I just did another wrestling podcast today. I do it for nothing. Why? Because I love ITL and I love wrestling and I want to be a part of the ITL forever. ITL forever. Hashtag ITL forever.
All right. Send us out.
That'll do it for me. But the story of the game goes on. For Bogman and Walsh, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Joey Pete, hey yo, Joey,
hey, yo.
He did it. He did it. He came back on ITL. He found time for the little guys. I really appreciate him remembering the little guys. But you know, that's our guy. It's our guy, Joe. I mean, you know, you're writing in the black book. You know, if there was any better time, by the way, than to try to get him on, it's like during deadline week for the black book. Like, hey, Joe, come on and just make sure you're doing like, the right thing. So Bogman meets his deadline.
I'm going to drill Bogman while I'm here, too, to make sure he has all of his chapters done. So
first thing, Boggs, those chapters done? It's like, it'll get done. Is
today the deadline? It's not. So, no, they're not.
Fantasy Pros Joe. So I met up and had some lunch with one of our dear friends, Jack, and he started as a listener and now he's one of our besties. And I forget the great stuff that can be accomplished when you're in person. He had an awesome thing I'm excited to show during the stream, just a little thing. I'm excited to show it. We were talking about the mascot series, and here's a tip. This is one of the things I want to talk about. So Bogman revealed, we're going to do it here. Bogman revealed the name, and I know that the thousands of people have been like, hey, where's the mascot series? Oh, don't you worry, we got a plan for it. Bogman revealed the name to Jack, and then when he revealed the name, I came up instantly with an artwork idea, and we're gonna work on that and we'll reveal that. But before then, I came up with a tagline, and it is going to be a merch thing. It's the best. You are going to love it. And Jag is working on it. Hopefully we can get it done. So I think it is possible that the first in the series of the mascot series might release sometime next week, like a late next week. It's a possibility. But we've also got some logo stuff in there. And I will 100% be purchasing the logo idea I came up with that we're going to put on a shirt for the mascot series. And you will want to, too. So just, you know, bookmark that Teespring store, the ITL store on Teespring, where we got lots of cool stuff you can check out today. But check this out. Our boy, Jag, I'm going to just quickly put this up. I want you to tell me what this logo says.
Team Go Hard, EricBurns.com.
Ugh. I'm going to pull this back. Tell me what you're seeing.
It's the footboard that we talked about that I had in my I had an ad for it on Instagram. So
can I pull that up? Do you think it's somewhere? Do you think I could pull
I sent it to you, but I've sent you like 8 million other things since then. So
yeah, there's no did you send it to me like on you send me a lot of stuff, which I love, by the way. Let's see. Is this the video? Oh, wait, there it is. Hold on. I'm going to play it on here. This is incredible.
Great. Yeah, I love Eric Burns commercials. So,
okay, so hold on. So we're going to play it together. Listen, we have always been a pro Eric Burns show. You know, Eric Burns sent you that great personal message. We have,
I mean, how much money did that cost? Jag is what I want to know.
I don't know. We have the song, you know.
He's just told me an embarrassing amount. Like, it's always tell me, he didn't tell me the total, but he said an embarrassing amount.
Listen, the people that are the most longstanding with ITL are the ones that get the bits. They understand the business. You just sacrifice for it. But Eric Burns brought us a great video. And he, our song, don't forget this.
Oh, yeah. Scott, Eric
Burns here. So we have the song.
I mean, how can I?
How
it's
can you?
It's permanently stuck in my head.
And it's never here. So here is Eric Burns talking about his reflex board.
The day we've all been waiting for.
We've been waiting for our entire lives.
Has finally arrived.
Our whole lives.
Boom! There it is. The Team Go Hard Foot Reflexology Board.
We've always been waiting for this.
Hey, look, in all seriousness, for about 10 years now, I've used foot reflex.
Wait, are you telling me he was just kidding that we haven't all been waiting? Am I the only one that's been waiting my whole life? Did he?
You're
just
the
say
only
no
one. No right, one else has been waiting for this.
Let's
you're
hear what, Eric, what else does Eric have to say?
And I will tell you, the benefits are immense.
Are they?
Increased blood circulation. Decreased inflammation, which is the root of all evil. Increased mood quality, decreased anxiety.
I need that.
Step on this thing before I go to bed at night. I feel like it helps me sleep better. So
maybe the Padres need this.
So what?
For all this time, people have asked me, dude, where do I get these boards?
Eric, like you play baseball, but I've always been wondering, like, where do I get the reflexology board? That's like all I want to know. Dude, bro.
I've tried to send them places. People do not make them right. The product's not consistent. No. A lot of the product that comes back is absolute garbage. So we decided to create our own.
Totally.
And I'll say, pick one of these bad boys up.
Did it. You know what? We don't even hear any more, Eric, because guess what? We did it. I have in my hand, I am holding the official Eric Burns reflexology board. Better be careful about the pronunciation there.
Listen. You're gonna have to step on it right now, and we're gonna have to see if it improves your mood. So let's get to it.
I think I need to do a product review, though. I think I need to do a product review video. Okay,
but
so here.
I just want the instant gratification.
I'm gonna do an instant
here,
one. So here, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
All right. So he's
I do not
up.
Want to. By the way, I do not want to give you instant gratification ever.
He's in his blue shirt again. By the way, it's not the Dodger blue one, but it's a blue one, of course. So he is, looks like he's shaking his entire desk. Ah! Looks like he's stepping on it. Doesn't sound like improved mood to me.
No, it's like stepping on Legos. Ow.
How did that not put you in a better mood, though?
Yeah. I think the best part about it is stepping off and you're like, oh, thank God, I'm off of this thing. So that was my instant reaction. But be on the lookout. If you got any suggestions, I'm thinking we need to do a product
review. You know,
dude,
it's because of your inflammation. Ow. That's why you don't like it, dude. So
like it's crazy. So we'll do an official. Weight,
dude, come on, bro. You'll be fine, dude.
Come on, Boggs, dude.
The dude is so California. It's the most unbelievable California like Ninja Turtles thing. Like,
it's
dude,
the best. He sounds like Michelangelo. So like, can we get a pizza after we get this reflexology board going on, bro? So there it is. Jag is always here for the bit. He's always here for the fun. And he purchased it. He brought it to me, and we've got it. So we are gonna have to do an official ITL review of the reflexology board, not just that one. And I'm hoping to also reach out to Eric and maybe I can get a little motivational video or something like that to go along with it. And be on the lookout. I would say subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/inthisleague. We are going to start actually putting some of the videos that we do on the YouTube now. So some of the episodes are going to be up there with the guests. You can just check them out always. And we've got the mascot series that'll be there and official product review of the team Go Hard, Eric Burns, foot reflexology board.
At least it's not Team Get Hard. So.
Well, I mean, Boggs, I think it's just figured team. Out what our alternative one is. Team Get Hard. That's the all right, Jag. Start working on it. All right. There you go, friends. Come and check us out. Patreon.com/ITLM if you want to support the insanity. I suppose there could be a negative of people like, if I don't go to Patreon, will you guys stop? No, we won't. But you guys can at least be a part of our audio universe. Come and check out all the fun stuff. Come and join me on Friday if you want for the stream. This should be a good time. Going to have, like I said, raffles and giveaways. We're going to open up some cards, talk prospects, might bring a couple people on to chat with us. So that's 2 hours. I do that once a month. and looking to do a whole bunch more. So you just want to be a part of this stuff. Get all the things, get all the lists, patreon.com/ITL Army. Thank you to Joe. You guys know all the other stuff to do. We'll get a little radio going on this week, and we will be back with you again next week. For Bogman, I am the Welsh, and Eric Burns' Foot Reflexology Board. We're out of here.
Saw ya.